Heavenly and gracious Father, we thank you for this day. This is South Dakota at its very best. Winter, warm, sunny. And here democracy is at its very best. Men and women, people of different political persuasions, but together with one purpose, to be of service to you and to our beloved state. So Father, we ask your blessings upon the men and women of this house. Guide them, fill them with wisdom every day as they go about their tasks. Bless our governor and those who serve throughout this government. Bless the president of our nation in this time of national adversity. We will be strong because you guide us all the days of our lives. These things we ask in the name of our Lord's name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks.
Clerk will call the roll.
Abdullah, Adelstein, Bartling, Bagalka, Bradford, Broderick, Dick Brown, Jarvis Brown, Byrd, Clark, Davis, Derby, Doonwell, Dunifan, Elliott, Flowers, Frost, Frisley, Garnes, Gillespie, Glensky, Tom Hansen, Gary Hansen, Hargens, Heineman, Don Hennies, Thomas Hennies, Holbeck, Hunstead, Hunhoff, Jaspers, Jensen, Junkie, Clout, Klochek, Koistinen, Knoll, Koistra, Lang, Lintz, Madsen, McCauley, McCoy, Michaels, Monroe, Marshall, Nautical, Napoli, Nesselhoff, Olson, Gordon Peterson, Bill Peterson, Jim Peterson, Pitts, Pummel, Roden, Richter, Siebert, Sigdesed, Slaughter, Smith, Solem, Sutton, Tupel, Valander, Van Etten, Van Gerpen, Van Norman, Wick, Speaker Icarius. Mr. Speaker, a quorum is present.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Chief Clerk of the House has had under consideration the House Journal of the second day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Scott Icarius, Chair.
There's a second. Discussion. Hearing none. Those in favor of approval of the journal will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Messages.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the Senate has adopted the report of the Joint Select Committee for relative to arranging legislative days for members, officers, and employees of the House and Senate. Also, Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the Senate has adopted the report of the Joint Select Committee relative to securing chaplains for the 77th legislative session. Respectfully, Patricia Adam, Secretary.
Motions and resolutions.
Representative Bill Peterson moves that when we adjourn today, we adjourn to convene at 1 p.m. Friday, January 11th, the fourth legislative day.
There's second. Comments? Hearing none, those in favor of that motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Consideration of committee reports.
Representative Bill Peterson moves that the report of the Joint Select Committee relative to the compensation for the elected and appointed officers and employees of the 77th legislative session as found on page 30 of the House Journal be adopted.
Is there a second? Comments? Hearing none. All those in favor of that motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
First reading
of House bills.
No, just a minute. We have other reports. We have four reports to adopt.
There's no objection. We'll revert back to another committee report that we need to adopt.
Representative Junkie moves that the report of the Joint Select Committee relative to legislative printing and distribution of bills and journals for the 77th legislative session, as found on pages 30 to 32 of the House Journal, be adopted.
There's second. Comments on the motion? Hearing none, those in favor of that motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Report is adopted.
Representative Bill Peterson moves that the report of the Joint Select Committee relative to the joint rules of the 77th legislative session as found on page 32 of the House Journal be adopted.
There's second. Comments on the motion? Hearing none, those in favor of that motion will vote aye. Opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and members proceed to vote on adopting the joint rules for the session. This will be a two-thirds vote. No, majority vote.
Representatives Napoli, Richter, Pummel, Dunafin, Monroe, Jensen, McCoy, Berg, Olson, Don Hennies, and Bradford. Representative McCoy. All members present have voted.
Clerk will display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 66, one absent, three excused.
The motion to adopt the joint rules for the session, having received a majority vote of the members-elect, is hereby declared adopted.
Representative Bill Peterson moves that the report of the Select Committee relative to the House rules for the 77th legislative session, as found on pages 35 and 36 of the House Journal, be adopted.
Is there a second? Comments on the motion? Hearing none, those in favor of that motion will vote aye, opposed nay. The clerk will lock the voting machine and members proceed to vote on adopting the House rules for the session.
Representatives Jaspers, Duenwald, Dick Brown, Mel Olson, Flowers, Siebert, and McCauley. All members present have voted.
Clerk will display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 67, excused 3.
The motion to adopt the House rules for the session, having received a majority vote of the members-elect, is hereby declared adopted. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 1055, an act to require that certain vehicle accident reports include information on the use of cellular phones or communication devices. House Bill 1056, an act to prohibit age discrimination in the workplace. House Bill 1057, an act to prohibit age discrimination in state government and all political subdivisions. House Bill 1058, an act to appropriate money to the Edgemont School District.
Speaker assigns House Bill 1055, Transportation, 1056 and 57, State Affairs, 1058, Appropriations, 1059, Tax, 1060, and 1061, Transportation. Are there any announcements? I've been asked to announce that there is a reception day from 4 till 6 p.m. at the Cultural Heritage Center tonight, 4 to 6. Any other announcements? Representative Bill Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Republican Caucus will meet at 3 o'clock today in room 412.
Any further announcements? Representative Olson, do you have an announcement? Seeing none, I'd accept a motion to adjourn. Is there a second? All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. We are adjourned. At this time, I'd like you to welcome Congressman John Thune, who's going to address the body today. Thank you.
Hey, how are you? Welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Feel like I have to adjust this for the tall guy standard here for microphones. Thank you very much, and Mr. Speaker and members of the South Dakota House and Senate. It's an honor to be here to be able to address what I believe is the preeminent governing body in the capital of the greatest state in the Union in South Dakota. And I've had the opportunity in the last couple of days to travel across the state. I came yesterday from a meeting up in Lead where we talked about a project that is very important to the future of South Dakota. and that is converting Homestake Mine into a national research laboratory. Today, the president will sign into law the indemnification legislation, which is important piece of the puzzle in making sure that that project gets to the finish line. And then we have to start the important work of trying to get the National Science Foundation to approve it and get it funded. But it's like so many important projects to South Dakota, things that we need to work on together. And I see all the familiar faces here that I've worked with over the years on issues that are important to this state. And I thought some of you guys were term limited, but I see everybody is still here. So South Dakota and the country have some big challenges ahead of us as we head into the years that are ahead. Our jobs are conducted under different domes of the Capitol in different locations. And yet this next year, in this legislative session, and in the U.S. Congress, we will face important challenges. In fact, this year promised to be one of the most challenging in recent memory for all of us, and many of those challenges are going to be the same. We are both facing budget issues. Our nation is at war, our economy is slowing, and our surpluses are shrinking. You know, the Capitol here in Pierre looks exactly the way that it did before September 11th, but in reality, everything has changed. Some of you have heard me tell this story, but on the day of the attacks, I was in Washington, D.C. with my wife, Kimberly. And when they whisked us out of the Capitol and took us to a safer place, we had an opportunity to return later in the day. And we called back to South Dakota to visit with our two daughters, Larissa and Brittany, who were in Sioux Falls staying with their grandparents. And as I embarked on a conversation with my youngest daughter, who normally isn't real talkative, this particular day she was very conversational. And she had been, like many of the children, watching on the television screen as these events played out throughout the course of the day. And she had two basic questions. She said, "Dad, are we going to get the bad guys? And Dad, are we safe?" And I think that those two questions, in many respects, sum up the way that our world has changed and the way that, and the obligations that we have to serve and represent as South Dakota's elected leaders, the people here in this state. First question is an easy one to answer. Yes, we are going to get the bad guys. All you have to do is flip on CNN, and it is breathtakingly obvious to see the power and the force of the United States military as we win the war on terrorism in Afghanistan. The dedication of our fighting forces and the supremacy of the American military has been an awesome thing to behold. And thanks to the sacrifices of our men and women in uniform who've already lost their lives in service to our country in this new war, we will catch the bad guys. There is no question about it. It is certain. Justice will be done. The second question, however, is much harder to answer. And that is the question that I'd like to focus on briefly today. Dad, are we safe? And I think about that every weekend when I fly home to South Dakota since September 11th. The way that we get around the country and air travel has changed dramatically. Now when you go through an airport and you go through the metal detectors and you deal with all the security, sometimes have to remove your shoes, your belts. Maybe they just do that to members of Congress because we look suspicious. But I think everybody has to deal with the new reality of air travel. You look at the people inspecting the bags. You look at the people who check your boarding pass. And you ask yourself the question, are we doing enough? Is it safe? And are we as a people safe? You walk past the statute in Sioux Falls, Joe Foss statue, and the great symbol of American freedom and democracy that he represents. And you think about the many veterans like him who served and sacrificed and fought for this country's freedoms. And you think about all the people that we represent and those constituents who are out there on the curb as they're waiting for their families or someone to come and pick them up. And you ask the question, are we safe? I think about the question of safety, I think about four things. One, is our food supply safe? Two, are our jobs safe? Three, is our nation safe? And four, are our families safe? These are the four questions that I believe we as leaders, we as legislators, must work to answer in the coming year. Now, before September 11th, I don't think anybody would have talked about food supply or food safety or worried about that. We are the breadbasket of the world. South Dakota supplies the finest beef and the finest pork and wheat and beans and corn of any country in the world. No one in any nation anywhere in the world can match the prowess and the pride and the skill of South Dakota farmers and ranchers. And that's not hyperbole. That is a statement of fact. But now we know that there exists in the world people who would endanger South Dakota's ability to feed the world. You look at the devastating impact that mad cow disease has had on Great Britain's agricultural economy, and you think about what might happen if something like that, or foot and mouth, or anthrax, were introduced into South Dakota's beef industry. On the federal issue, on the federal level, we're working to come to grips with this issue. There is much that we need to do, but we are making a start. In December, before Congress adjourned, we passed legislation authorizing $1 billion in block grants to state and local governments to plan and prepare for bioterror attacks. Our state and local officials are at ground zero in terms of being the first to respond to an attack. I've met with many of them across the state. We have to make sure that they have the resources, the tools that are necessary as they plan for the worst, and then pray that those plans never have to be put into effect. Second, there's the issue of economic security. When the people that we represent go to work in the morning, are they asking the question, am I going to have a job next week, or next month, or next year? When they charge Christmas presents on their Visa cards, are they afraid that they aren't going to have the money to pay the minimum charge on that account when it comes due after the first of the year? We've lived with economic fear before. We've lived with high taxes, high unemployment, high interest rates, and deficits as far as the eye can see. As leaders and as legislators, we have an obligation to the people that we represent to make sure that they never have to live under that kind of fear again. We need to put partisanship aside, and we need to pass an economic stimulus package in the Senate, and we need to do it now. We need to put partisanship aside, and we need to pass a new farm bill in the Senate, and we need to do it now. Our economic security depends on a strong ag economy, and it isn't fair to ask our producers or to expect them to go into another planting season without knowing the rules of the game. We must help small businesses create more jobs, help workers keep the jobs that they have, and help the unemployed become employed again. We do that by giving consumers the power to spend and small businesses the power to expand and create jobs. Government doesn't create opportunity. People create opportunity. And freedom works if we're willing to let it work. Energy security is a part of this equation, too. In the past day and a half, as I mentioned, I drove from Sioux Falls to Rapid City to Wall to Pierre and back to Sioux Falls, literally hundreds of miles. And I thought it was normal. And I think most of you here probably think that's pretty normal, too. That's our way of life here in South Dakota. We live in a state where we think nothing of driving vast distances to get where we need to be, to do what we need to do. But I want you to think just for a moment of the impact on every pocketbook here in South Dakota of a 10-cent increase in the price of a gallon of gasoline. Think of the impact that has on our producers when they sit down to figure out their operating expenses for the year and then have diesel go up by 25 cents a gallon. This is not acceptable, and it's not acceptable for us to be importing 53% of our oil, and one quarter of that coming from a region of the world where we are currently at war. We need to pass a comprehensive energy plan, and we need to pass it now. The President sent us a plan last year. The House passed it last summer. We need the bill to pass in the Senate, and we need the President to sign it, because we cannot afford to wait until July, when our nation, when people are beginning to travel and be held hostage to high energy costs and have people canceling vacations to places like the Black Hills because they can't afford to put gas in their cars. A stable energy supply consists of three things. It consists of an expansion of renewable fuels, alternative fuels, and energy sources like ethanol. It consists of an emphasis on conservation and making sure that we as a people, in the way that we live our daily lives, are committed to conserving energy in better and more efficient ways. And it also means that we have to explore for oil reserves in this country where they exist. And that means in the state of Alaska. The security of our energy supply depends on it. and our economic security depends on it as well. And finally, there is the issue of national security and of personal security. And this really cuts at the very heart of my daughter's question. Dad, are we safe? We cannot afford to be patriots in times of crisis and misers in times of peace. We must rebuild our military, and we must make sure that our men and women in uniform have the financial commitment of equipment, training, and funding that matches the commitment that they made when they volunteered to serve. We must continue to fund and support the B-1s that we have at Ellsworth Air Force Base outside of Rapid City. Look at the amazing contribution that Ellsworth and the B-1s and our National Guard troops have made in Afghanistan. Every single person in the state of South Dakota can be incredibly proud of South Dakota's contributions to this new war. But we need more than pride to get this job done. In his budget for the coming year, the President is expected to include a request for a $20 billion increase in defense spending. We must support this request. Lives depend on it. Our young men and women in uniform are putting their lives on the line to defend us and our families from enemies, both foreign and domestic. We must support them in any and every way that we can. It's been said, and I believe that it's true, that sometimes peace can only be found on the other side of war. This brings us then to the final issue of personal security. And to the heart of my daughter's question, she's an 11-year-old girl, goes to school in Sioux Falls, whose only concern prior to September 11th was whether or not she was going to win her next soccer game. And now her concern is she wants to know, Dad, are we safe? And I have to say, yes, Larissa, we are safe. As long as we live in a country where the hardware store on Main Street sells more flags than they can keep in stock, we're going to be safe. And as long as we live in a country where passengers on an airplane say, let's roll, and then sacrifice themselves to save the lives of other Americans, we're going to be safe. As long as we live in a country where liberty is sacred, where speech is free, and where you and I are held accountable for our actions by the people who elected us, we're going to be safe. It's more obvious today. It is more obvious today than it has been in the 226 years of American history since our republic was formed that God is good and so is America. And those of us who represent this state and this nation are among the luckiest people on the entire face of the earth. Thank you for your time today. May God bless you and may God continue to bless the United States of America. Thank you very much.